Hello, my name is Brent Langford, and I'm one of the Dealing with Divorce for Teens leaders. Thank you for the trust you've placed in me and the other leaders to help shepherd your children. I lead here because my parents divorced when I was a teen. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 says, "Blessed be God, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction." I'm glad tonight to share my story with you. Right before Christmas, during my eighth grade year, my parents told my older brother, younger sister, and I that they were getting a divorce. Not that they were considering it, and what were our thoughts as a family, and what were we going to do, but it had just been decided. My older brother said he would be gone in 2 years to college anyways, and he didn't care. My younger sister cried, and I was outwardly apathetic. Looking back, my attitude was a defense mechanism. How could I let myself truly feel the hurt of our family being torn apart while also feeling that no one cared enough to ask what I thought or what I wanted? I held on to control where I could, and selfishly, I chose to never spend the night at my dad's house when he moved into a new place. When people asked, I would say I was glad my parents were divorced, that there was now no conflict at the home, no tension, that things were better. And this is how I made myself feel. Truthfully, though, I was glad when I came home from school and I didn't have supervision. I could play and not do my homework. Instead of being watched over by two people to do the right thing, there was only my mom, stretched thin. Being unsupervised most of the time led to an environment where my newly formed pornography addiction was able to flourish. But God had plans. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." I had believed Jesus was the Son of God at age 4, but my understanding of that didn't develop for a long time. My family was a typical cultural Christian home. When I was little, my mom took us to church, and my dad stayed home most of the time that I remember. And my dad had experienced bad religion growing up and not a relationship with Jesus, so he was really turned off to attending church. We did not talk about faith or the Bible at home that I ever remember. And after second or third grade, I stopped going to church. I was shy and a homebody, so I did not like being left at Sunday school. I was also a very strong-willed child, and my parents gave up trying to get the family to church. So I never saw what faith lived out actually looked like. The summer following my parents' divorce, I ended up hanging out at the church almost every day. When my home life crumbled, I was able to find stability at church and stability with God, the only firm foundation. Before my parents' divorce, I did not have a relationship with my dad. I knew him, he was around, he was a good dad, he was actually very active in my life, but I did not know how to have an actual conversation with him. Every Wednesday night after the divorce, my siblings and I would go out and eat dinner with my dad. Luckily, this was not an option for me. I would always allow my older brother to do the talking and just sit and listen. But 2 years later, when my brother left for school, I was then forced to go and try and make awkward conversation with my dad and little sister. What started out as awkward turned into a great relationship. I just needed to be forced to learn how to talk with my dad. At church, I was able to make very close friends, and the closest friends I made also had divorced parents. There were a lot of things we understood about each other's home lives without having to constantly explain. My senior year of high school, my church had a divorce care for teens type thing. For several weeks, we all met together with several of the adult youth group leaders who were kids of divorce and talked. It was great to be able to share what was happening in my life, to be known and to be known in a group of people where my experiences were normal. One of the friends I went to divorce care with in high school would become my wife 4 years later. As an encouragement for those of you who are here tonight and have children, I would like to let you know that though we may not have been resourced as sufficiently as we could have been, God has used my parents' divorce, along with my wife's parents' divorce, to teach us and grow us as married people. as a married couple. We both have an understanding of how important it is not only to model our relationship with Christ in a way that honors him, but also to model our relationship with Christ to one another in a way that honors him. Because we've seen firsthand just how hard marriage is, we've been motivated and committed to preparing in every possible way, a marriage that will endure and last through any marital storms. God has been faithful to resource our marriage in a number of different ways, and for that, Ashley and I are extremely grateful. At the same time, we're both learning that our hope is not in our marriage. Our hope is in Jesus. Personally, I have seen that ultimate fulfillment does not come from a spouse, a new spouse, our portfolio, or a fat bank account. Ultimate fulfillment is found in Christ and Christ alone. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm still sad about my parents' divorce. Neither of my parents are remarried, and my dad has been dating the same woman for a long time now. He mentions now and then about how she wants to get married, and maybe they will at this time or at that time, and it hurts my heart. I still want my parents to get back together. I do not want to see my dad start a life with another family. I desire what God desires, for marriage to remain one flesh. I do not want to see my parents grow old by themselves, but I am comforted by the fact that my God cares more about my mom and my dad more than I ever could. God has also brought my parents back to church. My dad has found a passion for helping out with youth ministry, and my mom now attends another church where she is surrounded by a godly group of women who I hope encourage her to grow in her relationship with Christ. In the same way, I hope my dad helps out in youth ministry at church out of a love for Jesus. I confess that I say I hope because I do not know. I don't know because I haven't asked. I want to talk to my family about faith in Jesus, how he's changed the way I look at money, at time, at everything. This is my weakness. I think part of it is because I'm afraid to put myself out there and potentially look like a fool. A recent encouragement to me has been 1 Corinthians 3:18, which says, "If anyone among you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God." At home, I have had worldly wisdom modeled for me. I know how to fit in. I know how to talk about business. That is easy for me to do with my family. I need to learn how to talk about the things that are closest to my heart. What I wish my parents would have done will be my encouragement for you parents who are walking through divorce now with your children. Walk through it together. Talk about what is going on with your kids. I'm sure as part of divorce care, you'll talk about what's appropriate and what's not to share with your kids, but do not be content to wait for your children to ask you questions. I did not ask my parents about their divorce until right before I got engaged. I had plenty of questions before then, but I did not know if it was safe to ask them. Are you growing in your faith? Then share that with your kids. Do your kids not want to hear it? Then be willing to look foolish. Be willing to talk to a stone face or an eye roll. I've been that stone face, and I've been that eye roll to many people. But words sink in past a mask. You have parent pages. Ask questions about what your kids are learning. Some kids are good at sharing. Some, like me, are not. And if that is your case, then model for them what sharing emotional things looks like. Then, when they are ready to share, and when it finally sinks in that it is safe to share, they will know how. And most important for last, pray for your children. One of the greatest things my mom let me know was that she was praying for me every day. She only told me once, that I remember, and I didn't say anything back to her. But as I grew in my faith and went through other hard times, it was comforting to know that she was always praying for me. Needless to say, this is a painful time for your children. But God is close to the brokenhearted. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Pray that God will use this time of brokenness to become real to your children, that they would put their hope and security solely in Jesus, And like Peter in John 6:68, they would say to Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Pray that God would use our broken families to shake us out of spiritual apathy and to show us our desperate need for him. This is my third semester as a Dealing with Divorce for Teens leader. I want the students in our group to share their stories, to be known, and to feel known, to feel cared for and loved, to have their feelings validated, their hurts understood, to see that God is a loving Father who speaks to us personally through his word, to see that when storms rage in our lives, he is our rock, our firm foundation. I want them desperately to understand that in Christ they can have a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." And not just that they would have a new life, but a life where they're loved richly by God and by the people of God. A life where they know that all things will work together for good. Thank you for inviting me to share a little bit of my story with you tonight.